6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
A courage practice is not easy. This is not an easy quick fix road. This is my life. Like, this is day in and day out, take small steps that feel uncomfortable in a world and that is pushing us to be comfortable. I guarantee you, all someone has to do is watch 10 ads or commercials or hear 10 marketing messages. It is all about comfort.
This episode of Becoming Her is brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Sana is a skin studio that is shifting the relationship with your skin and your products through goal-driven facials, real guidance, and clean skincare. Stay tuned for my unique promo code so you can get $35 off of your first facial at Sana Skin Studio.
Welcome to the Becoming Her podcast with me, Nikki Spolstra. This is a space where we explore the human experience and the challenges, obstacles, and resiliency that shape who we are. Alongside expert guests and featured friends, I am here to host meaningful conversations that tackle life's complex challenges with humor, grace, and a little bit of sass. You are here for a reason, for the collective growth, so we may deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
What's up, everybody? Today, I'd like to welcome a super inspiring human being who really embodies the great becoming and unbecoming that I think we are all on. So Scott Simon is here today, and he is a happiness entrepreneur, an author, and founder of the global courage building movement, Scare Your Soul. With a unique approach that blends neuroscience, positive psychology, and behavior design, Scott has inspired thousands worldwide to embrace small acts of courage as a catalyst for growth and success. Scott is the author of Scare Your Soul, 7 Powerful Principles to Harness Fear and Lead Your Most Courageous Life. As a sought-after keynote speaker and workshop facilitator, Scott has partnered with leading brands such as United Nations Global Impact, Ritz-Carlton, Lululemon, and Logitech to foster more courage, okay, in the workplace. And Scott has designed more than 500 free courage challenges available in his weekly newsletter. He has a comfort zone pushing approach and a commitment to driving meaningful change. And Scott is on a mission to inspire a more courageous world. So Scott, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time. And I'm so excited that I get to tap into that brain of yours.
Nikki, it's so good to be with you.
Well, thank you. So I want to start by honoring the difference. I think it's really, really important here. And people ask me about this all the time. People are like, oh my gosh, you're so fearless. No, I'm actually full of fear. Like, I actually live with fear in so many ways all the time. And something that I've really been leaning towards lately is that I am not fearless. I am a fearful woman. I am a fearful person. What I believe myself to be, even when, you know, maybe I'm not even feeling my best, is I am a courageous person. And so I want to start by honoring the difference between fearlessness and courageousness and your thoughts on that.
I think you are tapping into the greatest myth that surrounds courage. And that is, if you look at what the messages are in society right now, it is all about being fearless. I think there are something like 60 different marketing campaigns, Puma, Nike. There are even healthcare institutions that tell you to be fearless. And Nikki, it is the wrong message. First of all, it is counter to who we are as humans. We need to have fear. I think, first of all, it keeps us safe. Let's be honest. If we were fearless, it would be deeply, deeply unsafe. But even more so, fear points us to what is important in our lives. And when we can move forward, feel that fear, and still take action, that's where we enter the realm of courage. So it's actually the opposite of being fearless. It is feeling fear. And I do too, Nikki. I work in the courage world and I feel fear every single day. I embrace it. It's part of who I am. And I think once we make that mental shift, the sky's the limit.
Okay. So something that I personally struggle with is like the whole mindset of like, be scared. Like you're scared, do it anyway. I'm like, maybe not. I'm like, maybe don't do the thing, right? Like maybe I'm scared and don't do it, right? So like then, so we have this idea of like, yes, there's a big difference between being fearless and being courageous, right? And you mentioned how fear does actually protect us. And so how do we even know the difference of like, okay, we're scared and we're doing it anyway and we're tapping into courage and now we're scared and this is a protective thing and this is something I'm not going to do. Like where do we like find the answer in the in-between.
So I'm going to give you like a really easy framework to work with. Yeah. This will be really macro.
We love easy, by the way. Yeah, like yeah. We love ease. Like
this is as easy as it's going to get. So the positive psychologists oftentimes view fear in two buckets. One is called real fear, which is the kind of fear that keeps us safe, whether it's physically safe. I mean, anybody who has kids, you know that you teach them certain lessons, things that they should absolutely be fearful of. That is so critical to who we are and propagating our species. It comes from, you know, when we were hunter-gatherers and needed to stay alive. And of course, that's critical. But then there is this other type of fear, which is they call toxic fear, which is projecting into the future, ruminating, worrying about acceptance or rejection, worried about belonging, replaying old tapes of things that happened to us in our past and placing them somewhere in our future as some sort of an outcome. It's not based in reality, right? It's self-generated. And I think the key thing about toxic fear is that in oftentimes it's holding us back from stepping forward into something that could open a door for us in our lives, whether it's in our jobs, in our relationships, in our relationship with ourselves. And the funny thing about these two frameworks is our brains really don't know the difference between.
I was literally just thinking that. I was like, I'm writing notes while you're talking about like what I'm going to put in the show notes. And I'm like, okay, but my next question is like, how do you even tell the difference? Because like our society's gotten to a place where we can't tell the difference. We don't have a lot of like, no like big animal is going to come like, you know, mess up our campsite and whatever.
Yes.
Right.
This is going to get a little deep for a second, but hang with me.
Yeah.
I feel like our biggest challenge in our society with all of the comforts that are available to us from the minute we pick up our phone in the morning to the kind of comforts that we have in our lives that we build around us, it is our desensitization to toxic fear that is our biggest adversary. It's not the fact that we can't do these things. It's that we get so used to holding ourselves back. That's it.
Yeah.
And if we can identify in the moment and say, you know what? So here's what I do. Deep breath. Label the feeling that I'm feeling. What is the fear that I'm feeling in the moment? Is it fear of rejection? Is it fear of not being
always
enough? Is it? Okay. Right.
I'm like, yes.
I mean,
say the next thing. I'm like, yes.
Okay, yes.
That too.
Fear of failure creeps into our lives often, right? So if we can just do that, if we can slow down, take a breath, label that fear as best we can or the emotion surrounding it, because sometimes it feels like anxiety, sometimes it feels like stress, sometimes it feels like downright fear, we have given ourselves the opportunity to make a choice. The choice may be, not doing it. I'm not ready to have that conversation that feels scary. I'm not ready for it. Or it is, you know what? I've been putting it off long enough. I need to have that conversation with my boss, my loved one, my, you know, my child, whatever. And then we're giving ourselves the chance. And this is my, I call it a courage practice, but it is a practice like a meditation practice or a yoga practice. You don't become comfortable in the practice of yoga by stepping on your yoga mat twice a year. It is a practice. Mm-hmm. It is something that you're putting yourself into a mode of discomfort, right? Any of us who practice yoga or have a running practice or even a meditation practice, it's not like joyful every moment. There is discomfort. There's edge there. Putting ourselves at that edge consistently, all of a sudden you feel like, you know what? I can do this. And then you open yourself up to all of this incredible, I'm going to say, love, passion, adventure, audacious living, all of the things that happen when we step into those moments. We don't know what's going to happen, but oftentimes those are the greatest moments of our lives.
I want to give like a tangible example to the audience because I've talked a lot about how scared I was personally to like start this show. What if nobody listens? What if I sound like an idiot? Like whatever, all these fears, right? What if people criticize it? Yeah, okay. But you know, I started this online exclusive women's community, and it's called Becoming Her. And I work one-on-one with some of the members. And I had to help a person like walk through the difficulty and the fear of writing a letter to request a leave of absence so that this person may focus on their mental health. Yeah. Couldn't do it. A lot of blocks up. Couldn't do it. So I help put words, right? I'm like giving the words to like, well, this is what you can say in order to draft the letter. And there was an immediate relief, right? At first, there was an immediate relief after we drafted this letter together. Not sent it, just drafted it.
Yep.
Immediate relief followed by immediate fear, because now we wrote the letter asking for a leave of absence to now focus on our mental health and mental wellness. And now what do we have to do? We actually have to focus on the mental health and mental wellness.
Yes.
And
yes.
That is even scarier than writing the damn letter, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
So why didn't we write the letter? Because we're actually scared of facing ourselves, right? Like, what about that? I'm scared of looking at myself in the mirror. I'm
yes.
scared of facing what's inside. Like, that's the hardest thing. It's almost like I can handle these outside fears. Those are easier. Those are more realistic. I can come up with solutions to those problems.
Yep.
Facing myself, scary.
Yep. So
scary.
Can I give you another easy framework to think
about? Absolutely.
Okay. If we look at those self, the worries of connecting with ourself in those ways that you're going to say, oh my gosh, I can't deal with that part of myself. I frame them as stories. I'll give you just a quick anecdote. When I was 10, I was in a fourth grade choir concert, and I had a solo line in a song, and the choir teacher, I couldn't sing, basically. I was so shy. I was bullied when I was young. And when the song came around to me, I couldn't get it out. And so the choir teacher, after a couple times of me failing at this, and the entire grade, you can imagine the entire grade's looking at me like, this kid, oh my God, I'm bright red, you know, the whole nine yards. He marched up to me and said, clearly you can't sing, just mouth the words for the rest of the year. And I didn't sing again for 35 years. So what did that feel like to me? It was a story. It was a story that somebody told me that I believed. And I carried it with me literally like on my shoulder for all of these years. I would be at concerts and people would be singing like everybody does. You're at a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert and everybody's singing at the top of their lungs. And I am mouthing the words in my early 40s.
As an adult. Like as an adult. Right.
As an adult. So one could say, is that something that I need to face within myself? Yes. But it's also a story that was told to me by someone in the moment that I continued to carry with me. Nikki, the way that I dealt with it after getting a courage practice, I met some wonderful people who teach positive psychology and behavior design, was to bring an acoustic guitar to the busiest restaurant that I could find on a Sunday morning and sing in front of about 100 strangers.
Oh my gosh.
Terror. Absolute terror. Was it because
I'm sweating right now? Actually, my armpit started sweating.
I'm getting goosebumps, and I did it. You know that. So, was it about me not being good enough? No. Was it about me, somebody mocking me or walking away while I did it? No. It was about me confronting my own story and saying, was I brave enough to rewrite it? And so I often find in the work that I do in Scare Your Soul, we have this glorious community of people who are not about dissecting every piece of themselves and putting it in the sunlight and it's about one step forward every single day. And to me, that day was a big one. It was about confronting that story. And I think oftentimes, if we phrase it as a story, it becomes doable. It's like, okay, I get that. Now what do I do about it? And we have ambassadors and participants that have become cheerleaders for a day. We have ambassadors who have held hands with a man walking through a mall because for them, that was the most courageous act coming from an abusive home growing up. These are relevant, critical moments in our lives that are not world-changing events. These are not people that are creating social movements, or these are people who are confronting their own stories and rewriting them in the moment. And that's where the power is.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm picking up on is like that word rewrite. It's like you get to be the narrator and like rewrite your own story, right? At any point. And like, you know, as children, we aren't really responsible for the adults that were placed in our path as we were moving through our childhood and adolescence and our early adulthood. But then we come to this place of knowledge and hopefully self-awareness where we're like, you know what? Like, I get to have a choice in this now. And what am I going to choose? Am I going to keep telling myself that's right? Oh my gosh, Scott, I used to tell myself, like, I received some message, I don't know who from exactly, that I was meant, like, in my life, I am not the smart girl. I'm the pretty girl. And yes. So for a long time, like, my biggest insecurity is I'm not intelligent. And I was having a conversation with a girlfriend last night about this, how this is my biggest fear. She was like, what? This is nuts, right? And I was like, you know what? I didn't start to get over that. And so I started to actually say it out loud. And I realized how ridiculous that story is.
Yes.
I'm like, that is the most, talk about dumb. Like, if my insecurity is being dumb, that is a dumb story. That is a dumb story that I'm telling myself. And so what this brings me to is to like the courage paradox, right? It's what you're talking about, why tiny acts of bravery. So for me, that presented as like telling people that I was insecure, that I'm not smart.
Yes.
So why tiny acts of bravery dismantle our biggest fears? You know, a lot of people listening probably think that courage has to be this like huge life-changing thing where like, and to an extent, like even the example of you taking your guitar, that's a big kind of deal to me. Like that's a bigger example, right? So, but people think it has to be this like huge life-changing thing, but what you do is you talk about like the small everyday acts of bravery.
Yes.
So like, why do those and what are they and why do they actually matter more?
Yeah. So I came upon this in a really organic way. When I was 21, I was given the opportunity to teach English to elderly Holocaust survivors overseas.
Wow.
And I was not at the phase in my life where I had any confidence about myself, certainly my intellect. I felt very much the same way as you. For some reason, I said yes to this year-long. I packed up a backpack. I put a spiral notebook in my backpack. I got on this long overseas flight. And I had a panic attack on the flight.
Oh gosh!
Yeah. So sweat, heart racing, trying to figure out what lie I would tell to land and turn around and come back. Like, you know, that, you know, those things that we tell ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled out this spiral notebook from my backpack in the middle of this panic attack. And I wrote 8 words that changed my entire life. And the 8 words were, do one thing every day that scares you. And I knew the minute it came out of my pen that this was going to be the mandate for the rest of that year, that instead of, first of all, either coming home or trying to change my life in some dramatic way so that I would be successful, it was the small steps day by day. Say hello to someone, go to the post office for the first time, get on a bus for the first time by myself. And those things started to accrue and build, and my self-confidence grew. And that year I fell in love. I climbed mountains. I met people of all faiths. I transformed myself, not through big acts, but through small acts every single day. The positive psychologists call it self-efficacy. It's more than self-confidence. It's
what is efficacy? I don't even know what that is.
It is a sense that you can achieve, you can grow, that you have agency in life. It's more than just being confident, like fake it till you make it. It's
right.
Literally belief in yourself that you can create positive change for yourself. And once you turn that corner, and I really do believe it is again, not through huge acts of, you know, leaving relationships, joining relationships, quitting jobs, moving cities. It is the daily act of pushing comfort zones. It literally changes, Nikki, our own identity, how we view ourselves. And when you have that, everything can change. That is, and it sounds so simple. It is a practice like anything else. You being able to say to people, I want to give you huge credit that when you tell other people what your insecurities are, first of all, not only is it brave, that is where true connection begins.
Absolutely.
So not only are you being brave in the moment, you're giving that other person an opportunity to see you in who you really are. And that leads to greater love, greater friendship, greater connection, greater self-awareness, all of it.
Well, it's also what like Brené Brown is like talks about all the time is like being vulnerable, right? Like the vulnerability and authenticity of things. And authenticity is such like a buzzword, you know, and like everybody's authentic now. And like now we have curated authenticity. So like that's right. Not even authentic, right? But right. It's really about like vulnerability being the key to moving the needle and being vulnerable with ourselves. I was on a podcast recently as a guest where they were talking about grief and moving through grief because I had a really rough 2 years in my life where I had to face a lot of really, really difficult things. And people are like, well, how did you do it? And, you know, you come to the other side of it. If you look at like my 2022 and where I wound up at the end of 2023, people are like, oh, this was an overnight thing. And it wasn't an overnight thing. Right. And so to your point about it being a practice, something that you do every day, it took a lot of really, really small steps, really tiny little steps that were really difficult. And, you know, challenged a lot within me and I was scared doing them that brought me to the other side. And I call it in my own personal world, I call it like having walked through the fire. I did walk through a fire of my own, you know, of my own life to get to this, but it wasn't like this overnight, like, oh, here I am. It was the everyday moments of like pushing through things, even if I was scared, even if I was worried, even if I was frustrated and all these things. And those are the acts I think of courage, right? That people talk about. And I think a lot of people, you know, Scott, they want the quick fix, right? They want to see, like we see ourselves, right? And I do this a lot in Becoming Her where it's like, we see ourselves as this version. And why am I not living that version? How am I not her yet, right? That version I have of myself, the idea that I have of myself, how am I not her yet? Well, what I'm hoping to help people do by having this group and also talking to people like you is like giving them those tangible tools and resources. Like, here's what you do. Have you ever been like, I mean, listen, as a type A, like an alpha female type, right? I run shit in my home and all this stuff. Sometimes I'm done with my work day and I just want to be told what to do. I don't want to think about dinner. I want to be told what to do. Like, we are tired. Like, people are tired. This is why listening to conversations like these are so important, because we just need somebody to tell us what the heck to do, like what to do, right? So many of us get stuck in our comfort zones, whether it's like relationships, careers, or just speaking up for ourselves even. And so what are some of the tangible tools to start breaking out of that?
Sure. So I have a framework that I have developed.
There's seven, right?
Well, there are seven, but I have actually condensed it down to five. So
even more tangible.
And I think if somebody did this every single morning and it takes like 5-6 minutes, it could dramatically change the way that they lead their lives. Because once we step into these moments and these doors start to open, this is where incredible things start to happen.
Yeah. I want the open doors. I'm like, I want that.
Okay.
I'm like, let's open the doors.
Okay.
Let's go.
So I'm going to take you through, and it's really easy. The acronym for it is SCARE, S-C-A-R-E. I really condensed them down because I had developed something like 500 courage challenges since we began Scare Your Soul. When I sang in front of the restaurant and wrote a Facebook post about it, it went viral, shared around the world. People have been saying to me, you know, literally, like, how do I start? What do I do every single day?
Right.
So this framework, SCARE, S-C-A-R-E, begins with the S is scan, which is scanning your life for something that you want to grow or evolve. That is a really powerful way to think about it. It's not a deficit. It's not something you need to fix. It's not something that's going terribly in your life, but it's something that you want to grow or evolve. Could be something in a relationship, could be something with yourself or your health, could be something in your job. So the first thing is deciding, what is this area that you want to grow or evolve? And again, this is a morning practice. You can just open up a journal or your notes app on your phone. And for that morning, whatever arises in that moment, something you want to grow or evolve. That's the S, scan.
Can I add to something that I noticed?
Sure.
I love that you said the words are grow or evolve and not change.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, there's like a small, like, I always think about semantics, right? And talk to people, and I was an English teacher like you.
Yeah.
And like, I remember getting a conversation with some people, maybe arguments, right? Maybe arguments with people, and asking for clarification on something and being like, wait, you said this, is that what you meant? And a person or whatever would be like, oh, it's just semantics. You know what I meant? And I'm like, well, words carry power. Words carry meaning. There's precise meaning to words. What made you use grow and evolve versus change?
So to get under the hood a little bit, because of course everything that has a framework has so much underneath it. There is a process called appreciative inquiry, which is all about using questions and strengths to help us move forward in life. And I think there is such a trend in society to focus on gaps, what's not there, what to fill it with. It's like, fill it with Botox, fill it with confidence, fill it with something.
Soft.
Right.
Just kidding. You know, obviously that's necessary sometimes, people.
So when we instead think about what's possible, how about possibility versus fix? Then we're focusing on what is already working. It's focusing on what we want to, as I said, grow or evolve. That excites me. What do I want to change? What do I want to fix? What do I want to, you know, implode? Or, you know, if you look at all of the societal messaging around courage, it's like, blow up fear, implode courage, you know, this. And, you know, it's like, no, I don't want to do that. My life actually has a lot going for it. I'm actually doing really well in a lot of ways, but I want to be braver. I want to open myself up to new things, even things, that may feel scary. Like, so to do that, I really believe when you focus on what's already working, strengths, and you unlock it in questions, not in Scott Simon knows best. Well, Scott Simon doesn't know best. What I do know, however, is there are great questions which will help you unlock those things for yourself.
To
me, grow and evolve, what could grow and evolve is like an amazing way to begin this process.
Yeah, and it's limitless. Right? Like there's no,
it is limitless.
Like, what am I going to change? Like, what am I going to change? Feels like I'm limiting. I'm like, I need to change this thing. Grow, evolve, limitless, boundless, eternity.
You got it. And some mornings it'll feel tiny. And in some mornings it'll be like, oh my God, I've never thought of that before.
Yeah.
And that again is what a practice is all about. Like for those people who meditate or practice yoga, it's never the same twice. You never sit on your mat and feel exactly the same twice. So why should a courage practice be prescriptive? It isn't.
Mm.
So if we lean into this concept of growth and evolution, then whatever is arising for us that day, that's going to be what we should lean into. And so I love that. And again, you never know. So S scan. What do I need or what do I want to grow or evolve in my life? Okay. The C is connect. And this is really all about our assets, our experiences, the people around us that give us strength. It's connecting with what has already worked in our life. And when we are growing, evolving, being courageous, oftentimes we feel like we're on a limb, like we've never done something before. How am I going to do this? And we forget that we have already done so many courageous things in our lives already.
That's right.
So if we can just re-plug into that, reconnect with that, we realize, you know what? I've already had relationships where I made really brave decisions.
Yeah.
Or I've had jobs in my life where I really stood up and took extra responsibility.
Yeah.
Like I've done this.
Yeah.
Or I have friends around me or a social network around me or inspirational people around me that
That's right.
I can pull into my world to help me.
Let's take a quick break so I can thank our sponsor, Sana Skin Studio, with their OG location in Wynwood and their additional locations in Fort Lauderdale and Coconut Grove. Okay, so the best way I can describe Sana is that it feels like coming home. Unlike traditional facials, Sana's facials are rooted in education, and I love this so much. Every experience I've had at Sana has been a chance for me to learn more about my skin and its needs. I love that the facials are effective while also being accessible enough to be a monthly ritual rather than a yearly splurge. This is why the Sana membership is so great. I'm honored to be able to provide our audience with a promo code. Use the code NikkiSpoGlow for $35 off of your first facial when booking at SanaSkinStudio.com and additional incentives if you book a membership. I have absolutely loved my skin healing journey with Sana Skin Studio. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow-up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at @NikkiSapsbo and @WeAreBecoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com.
That's right. I remember people... Like some people in my life, like while I was going through my divorce, they're like, well, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to be divorced? Like, how are you going to exist in the world? Right.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't necessarily have the answer, but I'm double downing on myself. I'll tell you what, if I'm going to double down on anything, I double down on me.
Yes.
Like double down. I'm scared. I am scared shitless. I am scared of what's on the other side of this, but we're going to double down because like, to some extent, it's like, you know, it seems negative, but like, I feel like people need to hear this. Like nobody's coming to save you. Like there's no knight in shining armor. Like you are the knight in shining armor. Like you are the hero of your own story. Like, and how amazing is that? Are there going to be people, like you said, like when you talk about connect and like people that you can bring into your orbit? 100%. Yes. We bring in those people. Ultimately, like, look, you could be hearing the same thing. Look, Scott, you could be saying this to somebody and they're just not in the place to receive it, right? They're
Yes.
just not in the place to receive it. And you know what? This conversation won't hit for some people. They just can't right now. Maybe it's a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. They're like, oh yeah, wait, I remember that one conversation that was had, and it hits. You know what
Yep.
I mean? So you can pull, you can bring these people, but ultimately it comes down to like you have the power of choice and autonomy in your own life, right? Like God plants these seeds of inspiration and everything. We attract people and experiences to us, and we ultimately have to be the person, like, right? So even scare, I don't know what the ARE is yet, but like scan is like, this is what I do. I have to scan. Right?
Yes.
I have to connect.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. And we have all taken risks in our lives that led us down a path that was so unexpected. And again, I think one of the huge roles that I play in Scare Your Soul and in writing my book and in talking to people is reminding them, that's it. You have done this in the past.
Yeah.
And when we plug into that, then all of a sudden we're energized. We know that we are our own knight in shining armor, and we can take that step forward because we have done it.
Right. And it, it comes back to like that term you use, self-efficacy, right? And having agency over your own life.
Totally. Totally. So, all right. So S, scan, C, connect. All right. Now we're plugged into, we've done this before. We have the resources. We have people around us that can support us. The A is, I think, is my favorite step. It's actualize. This is where we get to close our eyes and visualize celebrating this success, celebrating the achievement of doing this courageous action, whatever that needs to grow or evolve. And I oftentimes counsel people to, or invite them to, when they close their eyes, to think about what do they see, what do they taste, what do they smell, inhabit the moment. Like, it, to be really like pointed on it, if you wake up one morning and you're doing your scan and you say, you know what, I need to ask my boss for that raise that I deserve. Like, just to be very like focused on it. The actualized step is closing your eyes and picturing yourself just completing that conversation, and you go back to your office or you go back to your home and you are now sitting in that moment. What does it feel like? What are you smelling? What's around you? So this whole sense of bringing our awareness, our presence to celebration. So before it even happens, we know how it's going to feel. Critical.
I was just writing down, before it happens, question mark. I'm like, so are we doing this before it happens? We're doing it before it happens. We're like, this is how I'm going to feel when I achieve this thing.
This is critical to the step. You know, again, a courage practice is not easy. This is not an easy, quick fix road. This is my life. Like, this is day in and day out, take small steps that feel uncomfortable in a world and that is pushing us to be comfortable. I guarantee you, all someone has to do is watch 10 ads or commercials or hear 10 marketing messages. It is all about comfort, right? All about comfort. And that's just not the road to a happy and flourishing and passionate and adventurous life. It just isn't.
Well,
we all know it.
What's interesting about that is that, like, even somebody listening to this conversation about courage, like, end game is comfort, right? Like, more comfort, right? Like, okay, well, if I could be more courageous and I could do these things, like, I'm going to have a life of more comfort. I'm going to be more comfortable, right? I think part of this whole thing, and I've had conversations with people a lot about this, is like I've gotten to a place of peace, but that doesn't mean like life stops happening. Like, life is going to continue to throw shit at my, and I got to catch it. And I got to face it. Right. And so, like, peace it's not an end game. It's just like, there's no, you don't, and it sounds corny saying it, I think, but it's like, you're not arriving. Like, you don't face the courage for a year. You don't do the courageous things for a year. And then you have this big, comfortable life. Like, maybe you're more comfortable than you were before in certain areas, because now you've practiced it, right? You've lifted the weight. You lifted the 5-pound weight until your muscle got strong enough. And now you can lift the 10-pound weight. And okay, you did that until you got strong enough. And now you can do the 15-pound weight, and so on and so forth. But it's like, there's still going to be a heavier weight that maybe you want to carry, or you want to get through, you want to move through, so that you can become stronger, more comfortable, more peaceful, more fulfilled, whatever it is that you're seeking.
Yes.
It doesn't end. You're not arriving, right? So even in the search for comfort, where like the whole world is, there's going to be people, and I need the audience to hear this. Like, there's still going to be people in the audience that are like, I want to be courageous. I want to face the things that I'm scared of so that I can get to a comfortable spot. Baby girl, baby guy, like, you're going to life is going to continuously make you uncomfortable.
Nikki, I want to share, just this came up for me in the moment, a secret to life that a healer in Bali told me in one sentence that I think opened up the world to me. If anybody read Eat, Pray, Love, and you remember Elizabeth Gilbert's time in Bali, she had this kind of healer, a magical person that she found. And I was co-leading a retreat, a happiness and courage retreat in Bali, and ended up coming up to the mountains in Bali and meeting this unbelievable healer. And after kind of, you know, touching my head and my shoulders and sitting with me, he looked at me and he basically said, I'm going to give you the secret to life. And I said, okay, I'm ready. We're all like oysters. We need that little grain of sand inside of us to keep that sense of friction. That creates the pearl. We think we want to get rid of that grain of sand. Get it out. It's uncomfortable. It's ootsy. It's causing me friction. And really, that is what creates the pearl in our lives. And within, I don't know, maybe it took 10 seconds, I realized that this whole path that I was on of doing one thing every day that scares me and encouraging people to lead their lives courageously, not in big leaps, but in small steps, that truly is the meaning of life. We don't ever arrive and lay down on a deck chair and the sun is out and that isn't a happy, flourishing, successful life. It is feeling that sense of friction, of discomfort, and always working to get better, to create that pearl inside of us that leads to the life that we all want to live, not the life of comfort.
It like almost brought me to tears there. Like I'm a very intelligent woman. See, like I've replaced certain statements in my stories, right? I'm like, I'm smart, right? Like before I used to not think that. Now I'm like, I'm smart. I'm like, so on a rational level, I'm like, yes, literally an oyster and this grain of sand makes the pearl. I get it. But like when I think about it metaphorically in my life, I was truly like almost moved to tears for that moment. And it's something that is such a great, great analogy for life. And I thank you for dropping that wisdom. Like that was so special. So we have scan, we have connect, we have actualize, where we are actually imagining what it feels like to achieve that thing that we want. And after we've actually faced it, right? We do it before we face the thing.
Correct. You're literally like inhabiting that place in your mind of celebrate. I love the word celebration. It may be one of my favorite words in the entire world.
It's a good word.
It really is. And I think when we talk about rewriting, people who are into the concept of neuroplasticity, you know, the fact that we can actually rewire our brains, so oftentimes that is in the mode of celebration. When we do something hard and then we celebrate it,
yeah.
It's time to actually either share it with a friend, share it with a loved one, write it in our journal. I have a gratitude practice that I've been doing with a friend for 12 years. We write 5 gratitudes every night, send them by text. We've been doing it for 12 years. That to me is my celebration at the end of the day. I'm literally celebrating the hard things that I did that day. Those are my gratitudes. And that literally changes the way we think about ourselves and the world. This isn't like fluffy stuff. This is
real
change.
It's real. When I was in the early days of my sobriety, and God willing, in April, I'll have 5 years of continuous sobriety. My sponsor was like, you need to write down 10 things every day that you're grateful for. And I was in the throes of depression. I had, at that point, I didn't want to live anymore. I was like, GFY, which for people who don't know what that means, it's go F yourself, right? Like she was like, 10 things to be grateful for. I'm like, 10? I do not want, girl, I don't want to be here. I don't have one thing. She's like, 10.
Yeah.
10 every day. And I remember going through my journal at the end of 365 days. And I looked at my 10 things that I wrote every day for that year and how my perspective on life had drastically changed.
Yeah.
So you talk about being able to change the neurological pathways. It can be done.
It can be done. And people can start today. My gratitude partner and I, Carly, changed our gratitudes at some point because of the courage work that I was doing to 5 gratitudes and 1 risk that we took that day. If I could give any like just simple practice to people, start tonight, find a friend or write it in a journal. If you feel like there's not somebody for you, which is totally fine. I happen to love the concept of an accountability partner that I owe my gratitudes and my risk. And literally, I then spend my days looking for things to be grateful for and looking for that risk to take because I know at 11 p.m. I'm going to be texting Carly.
That's right. I love it. I love this. All right. So, Scott, we have scan, we have connect, we have actualize. What's R?
So R is response. R is the what are the things that we are going to do, the two or three or four steps that actually have to happen for this thing to grow or evolve? It may be a project. It may be a conversation. We may need to take action on something in our lives to accomplish this. So this is a little bit of a like a planning step. What do I need to actually do to achieve this?
I've already that seems like a scary thing. That's like the hard part, right? You're like, oh no, now I have to face it. Now what?
Yes, but you're in the comfort of your own chair with a pen in your hand. This is you in the moment. Nobody is viewing this. This is just you writing, thinking, seeing what arises. And for those with a kind of a type A planner mind, this step actually has a high degree of comfort in it because this is like, aha, I see a flow chart here.
Oh my gosh, it's also like control, right? Right. So people like, if I'm a control freak, yeah, I'm like, okay, these are the variables I can control.
Right. So now I've visualized it. I've left this world of like, of just pure presence and mindfulness. And now I'm entering the, okay, this is what has to happen. Mm-hmm. So, right. Because if we don't take action, it's just thought, right? So R is response. The final step is E, execute, which is what is literally the smallest step that I can take to make this happen. That may mean a phone call, a step outside into nature. It may mean sending an email to a long lost friend that you haven't connected with, you've lost connection with. It should be easy. It should be small. And this is what gets you into action. It shouldn't be so big that you get, you know, you close your journal and say, it's too big, I can't do it. This literally could be done in the next 3 minutes.
Honestly, like even on a like a very practical like example of this is on my to-do list, I have a bunch of things on my to-do list. I always hit the easy things first. It feels good to like be like, okay, it's almost like a warm up, right? It's like almost like stretching at the gym before you actually do the hard workout that you're going to do. I'm like, oh, okay, yes. Like I can send this email. I can respond to that. I can clean the coffee mug that's in my sink just to get into action mode.
Exactly.
I don't have to think too hard. I don't have to think too hard about doing
yes.
these things.
Yeah. But at the same time, this easy step that we can do, not only does it create momentum and a feeling of, you know, of positive, you know, I did something already. It is connected to that first step of this thing that you want to grow and evolve. It all is this line. It just happens to be the smallest step that you can take to begin that process. Once that starts to happen, and once you begin your day in this process. I've also, by the way, worked with teams and companies where we use the SCARE process. You can imagine a team doing this, right?
Yeah.
It's a totally different application of the same process. But when we do this every single morning, you would not believe what those actions start to do. We start to lead our relationships more courageously. We start to lead our work lives or our parenting lives more courageously. We start having those conversations with our children or taking action. And by the way, the action, Nikki, might be to not do something.
Yeah, right. Okay. Non-action is sometimes an action.
It is. Let's say we're in patterns with our children where we're constantly doing something,
yes.
right? That all of a sudden, the most courageous next step might actually be to just smile and give a hug.
Yeah.
And not do what we normally do in that moment. Mm-hmm. That may be the courageous step that arises in this process. And that's an amazing step forward in our evolution. That action sometimes may mean saying no to somebody. It may mean saying no to taking on commitments that we always take on because we're people pleasers.
We feel obligation, right?
Yeah. But that courageous step when you go through this process, if your sense of evolution is, I want more time to myself so I can grow and become a fuller sense of myself, then maybe that step that happens at the end of execution is, I'm going to say no to the next three things that people ask of me that would take time away from myself.
Yeah. So I love the message that gratitude and courage go hand in hand. I think that's really, really important for people to remember. And then I would like to close, Scott, with, well, a couple of things. I want to know what you're grateful for, but that's going to be like the end. So you have some time to think about that. I know you probably have a bunch of things that you are grateful for. So it might be hard to narrow it down to just a few in our conversation. But like you mentioned people getting stuck. So I want to talk about how to get like people unstuck. And I think you might've already answered in this, like start today, right? But then make it stick. So get unstuck and then make it stick.
Yes.
How?
Well, first of all, I think that we need to have a lot of grace that this isn't an automatic process. Mm. Again, this goes to the concept of like, you can find a million top 10 lists of how to be courageous or how to be, you know, brave or how to be bold. And it's like New Year's resolutions. Like it just doesn't stick. To me, when you begin with a series of questions that are rooted in strengths, like we talked about before, this is the things that become exciting. We're not going to stick with something if it doesn't feel exciting.
You're right.
So, you know, how do we make it exciting? Well, it has to be relevant to our life. It has to feel like something I want to change and grow and evolve.
Yeah.
If it isn't, it's not going to stick, Nikki. And you can have all the greatest designs in the world and you can have all the greatest plans and goals. And at the same, you know, a month later, you're going to be exactly where you are at the starting line of the marathon versus 6 miles in. To me, when you plug into what is exciting and what needs to grow and evolve in our lives and what steps have to happen that are brave, that get us there, oh, that is such good stuff. And that's what's going to keep this sticking. And, you know, you can look to books like James Clear's Atomic Habits.
I literally have it on my desk. it's on my desk.
I mean, so the kind of geeky data point that Clear talks about all the time is that if we get just 1% better every day for a year, we're 37 times better at the end of the year in whatever that thing is, right?
Yeah.
Apply that to courage for a second. Mm-hmm. 1% more courageous every single day. 1%, you're 37 times more courageous at the end of the year. Just think about for a moment what that could mean to your life.
It's so powerful. Like it's seriously so powerful to think about. I have so, when just listening to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, this applies for me. Like it's like my dating life, right? It's like having optimism about dating. Like I have so many friends that are very pessimistic about dating. And I'm like, well, if we're not excited about it, like you're giving that off, you know, this is just like, whatever. It's like a tangible, relatable thing that my audience will be like, oh, she's going through it. But yeah, like having an optimism about it. It's like, am I optimistic and excited about having a beautiful, healthy, happy, loving, passionate relationship? Fuck yeah. Like, yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I sure am.
Yes.
And so I believe that I attract that into my life, right? Am I excited about like this new era of my show? Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, I sure am. And so it's like you attract more of that into your life with your mindset and your attitude towards it. Like at that level of excitement, I think is really, really a huge plug here.
Can I share one quick courage dating concept?
Of course, yes.
It's that I love my friend Lori Gerber, who's an amazing dating and love coach, talks about the three H's of dating, and I'll get to where the courage is. The three H's are head, heart, and heat. So head is the person that you're on a date with. Let's say you have a first date or a second date. And you're on this first date or second date, the head is, does this person light my brain on fire? When we talk, am I thinking about really exciting things and sharing really exciting things with them?
Yeah. So
head. Heart is what's happening here passionately. Like, is there a connection? Is there a heart-centeredness when I'm with this person? And then the third is heat. Is there chemistry between us?
I love those three things.
Lori says, if you, after two dates, if that person doesn't rate an 8 out of 10 on all three, end it. Now, here's where the courage is, okay? Is so many times people get into a dating relationship and they just don't have the guts to say to somebody, I really like you, you're really nice, but this just isn't working for me in the moment and I wish you well. Like, that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, it does.
And then you're in, if you don't do that, you're in something that's dragging on, it's not working, you're feeling crummy. And that, I think, is what really kind of dissipates people's enthusiasm.
It demoralizes the enthusiasm.
It demoralizes.
It really does. Yep, absolutely.
So again, I love these little frameworks, but the key is, in the end, are you being bravely honest with yourself and with this other person? And I just happen to love that little piece of dating advice.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
It does require courage, but then you're like, then dating life all of a sudden becomes really exciting, and it's a journey, and it all
right.
is okay in the end. And then I think that's when the door really opens up to love. When we put ourselves out there and we say, you know what, I'm going to risk it a little bit. I'm going to risk my head and my heart and my heat a little bit out there. But to me, that's where love all of a sudden, you know, knocks and the door opens.
Love it. Love it. And I hope everybody takes that with them today. So Scott, what are you grateful for today?
So as I mentioned, I have a gratitude practice with my friend Carly. We've done it for 12 years. And I think what I'm often grateful for is the hard things in life, not the easy things in life. And I have a child right now, a son, who is going through a really hard time in a relationship that he is having. And I think seeing him navigate those hard times so beautifully, which with such integrity and with such bravery, is making me so grateful that I'm so proud of him. And again, it's not in a moment of comfort. It's actually in a moment of great discomfort, which is really when our truest character comes out. So my son Noah right now is giving me a great, great sense of gratitude.
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Scott, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us. I mean, people are going to be taking copious notes here. I know it. I know it. And or coming back to replay this over and over and over again. Where can people find you?
ScareYourSoul.com is...
That's very easy to remember, guys.
We have a free weekly newsletter with a courage challenge every single week. And my book is available everywhere. I'm just really honored to be able to be working with people on something that is so deeply powerful in our lives.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing all of your wisdom with me and my audience today. So
thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Be sure to use my code NikkiSpoGlow for $35 off of your first facial at Sana when booking via SanaSkinStudio.com. More than a skin studio, Sana is a movement towards healthier skin and self-love. Thank you for listening to the Becoming Her podcast. If you loved this episode, share it with a friend who may need to hear what we spoke about today. And if you really love this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect from Becoming Her. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community, where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at @NikkiSapsbo and @WeAreBecoming_Her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com. My hope for you today is that you are courageous and looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.